I wonder this morning how many of you would identify with this statement. How many of you would say that you feel stuck? You just feel like you wake up every day, you do the same thing that you did yesterday, which was the same thing you did the day before, which was the same thing that you did the day before that, and you just go on and on and on and on, practically going through the motions. Listen, if you are sick and tired of wandering through life, if you're sick and tired of going through the motions, going from one mundane task to the next, if you're sick and tired of living a purposeless and powerless life, then you are in the right place this morning. Because this morning, I'm going to give you the key that unlocks the door to living a purposeful and powerful life. And the key is found in Acts chapter 19. The key to getting unstuck in life is found right here in Acts chapter 19. It's got three syllables to it. It's the word surrender. Surrender. Listen, there is great power in simple surrender. Surrender is vastly different than commitment. You can commit yourself to God, you can commit yourself to the Lord, but when you commit to the Lord, you still have control. You say, I'm committed to following Jesus until something goes wrong, and then you walk away from that commitment, and then you wind up typically blaming Jesus for the reason why you are far from Jesus. Surrender is different. Surrender is not passive. Surrender does not mean you're giving up. Surrender means you're getting up. Surrender means you're giving it to the Lord and you're letting the Lord be the Lord of your life. Surrender isn't showing weakness. Surrender is showing strength. In fact, one author said this. Let me read it to you. A simple quote. He said, "The greatness of a man's power is the measure of his surrender." The greatness of a man's power is the measure of his surrender. And so today I want to show you that great power comes from simple surrender. You remember in Acts chapter 9, you'll remember the story when the Apostle Paul was traveling through Damascus, traveling to Damascus, and he was opposed to God at that time. And you remember what happened. The Bible says that a great light shone, and Paul fell to the ground. And the Bible says this, that the Lord asked Paul, "Why are you persecuting me?" And Paul replies, says, who are you, Lord? And Jesus says, I am Jesus, the one who you are persecuting. And then Jesus gave him some simple instructions. Get up, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And guess what Paul did? He got up, he went to the city, and he was told what to do. Why? Because in that moment, on that instance, on that road to Damascus, Paul surrendered his life to Christ. And when he did that, he found great purpose and great power. On the road to Damascus, Paul stopped living a life of resistance and rebellion, and he began instead living a life of purpose and power. Yes, sir. And today, we're in Acts chapter 19, 10 chapters removed from the events of Acts chapter 9. And what you're going to see is Paul living out his purpose and living in the power of Christ. What you'll see specifically are three obvious, clear, you cannot miss it, three obvious results of a surrendered life that all point in one direction. We're going to start at the end, actually. If you look at your Bibles, Acts chapter 19, verse 20. Here's what the Bible says. In this way, the word of the Lord flourished and prevailed. Translation, God builds his life, his church through surrendered people. Before we dive in, I want to ask you to pray for me and pray with me. If you would, please bow your heads, close your eyes, humble your hearts, and let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for your word. Father, I pray that over the next few minutes that you would change lives as a result of an encounter with you through your word. Father, I pray you would take my feeble words, my feeble thoughts, and transform them and make them accomplish what you would have them to accomplish. For your glory alone, I pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, three results of a surrendered life. Number one, surrendered people live purposeful lives. Listen, if you want a life of purpose, then you go to the one who made your life and you ask him for purpose. A life surrendered to the King of Kings is the only guarantee that you will find purpose in this life. Paul learned his purpose in Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, he was told that he would share Jesus with, quote, the Israelites, the kings, and the Gentiles. And then in Colossians chapter 1, Paul writes and says, we proclaim Christ, we proclaim Him, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. And listen to his words from Colossians 1. He says, I labor with this, striving with his strength that works powerfully in me. Paul's purpose in life was to know Christ and make Christ known. And he lived out his purpose with great intensity. Look in your Bibles, Acts chapter 19, beginning in verse 8. My Bible says this in verse 8, that Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly over a period of 3 months, arguing and persuading them about the kingdom of God. Paul entered the synagogue and he spoke boldly and persuasively. That means he was speaking with great purpose. He was telling those in the synagogue who Jesus was and what Jesus did and why it mattered. He was living a purposeful life. He was accomplishing the purpose that God had given to him, but that doesn't mean it was a problem-free life. In fact, look at verse 9. The Bible says that when some became hardened and would not believe, they slandered the way in front of the crowd. Paul was a mighty preacher, man. He was a stud preacher. But even as good of a preacher as Paul was, the Bible says that some became hardened. Your translation may say they became stubborn or obstinate. They just refused to believe Paul's message. They refused to believe the gospel, the good news about Jesus. Their hardened hearts resulted in insults. They began to slander the way, which was a term for Christianity. So they began to slander Christianity, insult Christianity, slandering Paul. But Paul had a purpose in his life. And listen, when you have a purpose in your life, when you're living out that purpose in your life, you don't stop when you get your feelings hurt. You don't stop when people come up against you. When you know that your purpose comes from the Lord God Almighty, nothing can stop you. The gates of hell can't stop you when the Lord gives you purpose and gives you an assignment, which is exactly what Paul does. Look, the Bible says, when some became hardened and would not believe, slandering the way in front of the crowd, he withdrew from them, taking the disciples, and conducted discussions. That's a dialogue that he had with people. Conducted discussions every day in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. Verse 10, this went on for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the word of the Lord. Paul surrendered his life to the will of God, and the Lord gave him great purpose, powerful purpose. And Paul lived out that purpose, and as a result, nothing was going to stop Paul. His God was so big, so great, so mighty. There's nothing his God could not do. And Paul lived out his purpose. And as a result of that, look in your Bibles, verse 10. As a result of that, for 2 years, he dialogued with people. And what's the word there? Who heard about Jesus? All of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the word of the Lord. You surrender your life to the Lord. Surrender your life to his purpose, and the Lord will use you for his glory. So here's the question. What in the world is keeping you from surrendering your life to the purpose of God? What could possibly keep you continuing down the mundane road of doing the same meaningless task day after day after day? What could keep you from surrendering your life and all of your life? What's the thing keeping you from doing that today? Are you afraid that if you surrender, problems are going to come? Because they're coming anyways. But when you surrender, God gives you purpose. And when God gives you purpose, nothing can stop you. Surrendered people live purposeful lives. Secondly, surrendered people live powerful lives. Now, last week I mentioned to you the book of Acts is a book of transition. So it's a book where we see a transition from the Old Testament into the New Testament. So Apollos was an Old Testament saint living in a New Testament world. You might remember that phrase. And now listen, because the book of Acts is transitional, because it's a time of transition, there are things that happen in the book of Acts that aren't normative for today. And we see miracles, crazy miracles happening in the book of Acts. And the pattern that we see in the book of Acts is this, that when a miracle happened, the miracle validated the message. The miracle always pointed the people to Christ, to Jesus. Yes. Miracles always validated the message that Jesus is Lord. Yes. Today, in our world, we have a lot of pretenders. A lot of pretenders on TV who will open their Bible to Acts chapter 19, and they'll tell you that if you send them some money, they'll send you one of those anointed face cloths. And if you'll take that anointed face cloth and you'll hold it in your hand while you pray, they tell you God's going to bless you and fill your bank account and God's going to heal you from that disease. And I'm telling you, don't fall victim to the scam of pretenders. Because powerful people don't need to pretend. Powerful people don't need to pretend they're powerful. And Paul lived a powerful life. Let's see his life. Look at verse 11. The power of the Apostle Paul. Look at him. Verse 11. The Bible says this. God was performing, my Bible says, extraordinary miracles by the hand of Paul. So that even face cloths or aprons that touched his skin were brought to the sick and the diseases left them and evil spirits came out of them. Question, where did the power come for the miracles? God. The Bible says that God was performing extraordinary miracles. But catch this thought. Who did he use? Paul. God used Paul's hands to change lives. Why? Because Paul surrendered his hands to the work of the Lord. A man surrendered to the work of the Lord, a man who surrenders his life, surrenders his hands to the work of God, will change the world. The Lord will change the world through that man. Paul lived in an incredible, extraordinary, transitional time. So much so that when Paul was busy tent making, he would take off his headband, that's the face cloth, he would take off his sweatband, and he would take off his apron, and people would go and grab that and send it to their friends, and when their friends just touched their face cloth of Paul or the apron of Paul, two things happened. Do you see that in your Bible? Verse 12, two things happened when they touched the face cloth or the apron of Paul. Number one, sick people were healed. And number two, evil spirits came out of the possessed. And that second one is crucially important for you to remember. I'm going to ask you to remind me about that in a minute because you know how my memory is. The Lord allowed for Paul's sweatband and his apron to heal sick people and to cast demons out of the possessed. Paul was submitted to God. And God's power was so evident in the life of Paul. This wasn't a Tylenol healing. Like, this wasn't something that could be healed with Tylenol, something you couldn't see. These were visible, evident healings that happened all because someone touched the sweatband of the Apostle Paul. But let me introduce you to a couple of pretenders. Some pretenders in the Bible. These pretenders, they didn't know who Jesus was. They hadn't surrendered their life to Jesus. They were professional pretenders. Look at verse 13. Verse 13 says this, "Now some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists also attempted to pronounce the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, 'I command you by the Jesus that Paul preaches.'" Verse 14, "Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish high priest, were doing this. And the evil spirit answered them, 'I know Jesus, and I recognize Paul, but who are you?'" Well, who were they? Pretenders is who they were. Itinerant Jewish exorcists. That's a traveling Jewish exorcist, which is a strange way to make a living. I don't recommend that if you're looking for a career. They showed up, and the Bible says they attempted, which is a good way of saying, bless their hearts. I mean, they're attempting. They tried. They gave it their best shot. And look at the words in verse 13. Look at their words. It reveals their heart. Look, "I command you by the Jesus that Paul preaches." Here's the thing. They knew about the Jesus that Paul preached, but they didn't know the Jesus that Paul preached. They knew about the things of God, the miracles of God, but they didn't know God. And there is a huge, huge difference between the two. There's a huge difference between knowing about the Lord and knowing the Lord. There's a huge difference between coming to church every Sunday and learning how the Lord built his church and actually being used by the Lord to build his church. There's a difference between hearing a sermon and allowing God to change you through a sermon. There's a difference between the transfer of information and transformation by Jesus. What's the difference? Well, in this case, the one who knew Jesus was powerful, and the ones who pretended were powerless. Somebody remind me, how many sons of Sceva were there? Seven, all right? And remind me again, what were the things that Paul's sweatband and apron accomplished? A healing of illnesses, and what else? Evil spirits were kicked out. Paul knew Jesus. The seven sons of Sceva knew about Jesus, and look at what happens. Look in your Bible. Verse 16. The Bible says, "Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them, overpowered them all, and prevailed against them. So they ran out of the house naked and wounded. And when this became known to everyone who lived in Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, they became afraid, and the name of the Lord was held in high esteem." Now listen, I hope we don't have any seven sons of Sceva in this room this morning, traveling exorcists. But I'm pretty sure we've got some pretenders in the room. Some people who are pretending to follow Jesus. And a good pretender can fool a lot of people. A good pretender can fool a lot of people. They can look really good. The seven sons of Sceva looked really good. They had all the right clothes. They had the name badge that said professional exorcist on it. And they could name drop their daddy. My daddy's name is Sceva, and he's a high priest. I'll take care of this. They knew all about Jesus, but they were pretenders. They didn't know Jesus. And in the end, the seven men, seven sons of Sceva, they got lit up by one possessed man. Look at verse 16. Verse 16 says that the evil spirit jumped on them, overpowered them, prevailed against them, wounded them, and stripped them naked. Pretending made them leave with shame. Pretending made them look like a fool. They thought they looked good, and maybe for a minute they did, but they were found out, and they looked like a fool. If you learn nothing else from the seven sons of Sceva, learn this. There's a difference between knowing the Lord and knowing about the Lord. Yes, sir. There's a difference between followers of Christ and pretenders. So if you're pretending, quit. Quit pretending and submit to the Lord. Surrender to the Lord. Quit resisting His will for your life and submit to His authority. Surrendered people live purposeful lives, powerful lives, and lastly, surrendered people live changed lives. Listen, Paul was faithful to share Jesus, and Jesus was faithful to save, and the Holy Spirit was faithful to change. When the news about the seven sons of Sceva began to spread around the area, you better believe spiritual awakening took place. We might call that revival. And listen, the evidence of a surrendered life is revival. And the evidence of revival is that lives are changed. You cannot submit and follow the Lord Jesus and keep living for the devil. If you're surrendered to Jesus, you will look different than you did before. You will do things different. Your want-tos will change, which is exactly what happens in Ephesus. Look in your Bible. Verse 18. The Bible says, "Many who had become believers came confessing and disclosing their practices, while many of those who had practiced magic collected their books and burned them in front of everyone." Let me read that again. "While many of those who had practiced magic collected their books and burned them in front of everyone." So they calculated their value and found it to be, my Bible says 50,000 pieces of silver. What does your Bible say there? 50,000, that can't be right. Is it a typo? 50,000 pieces of silver? You know what that means? That means there was a big old bonfire that night. That place was on fire. Listen, what can we conclude from this event? Number one, we can conclude that conviction must lead to confession. Conviction must lead to confession. If you are convicted by the Lord and you don't confess that conviction, your result will be nothing. Nothing will change. The Lord convicts you to draw you to confess. Conviction must lead to confession. And secondly, confession must lead to correction. The believers in Ephesus, they were convicted because they realized they were living a life of pretend. We're going to follow Jesus, but we're going to keep this magic thing over here just in case. And then they heard about what happened to pretenders, what happened to the seven sons of Sceva. And they aligned their life, they surrendered their life to the Lord's will, came together in a public way and had a gigantic bonfire, lighting 50,000 pieces worth of silver, magic books, the occult, lighting them up for the world to watch them burn. By the way, 50,000 pieces of silver, that's the equivalent of 50,000 days of work. One piece of silver per day. Which means this, if you wanted to earn 50,000 pieces of silver in your life, you would have to work for 137 straight years to equal the number, the value of the magic books and occult practice items that were burned that day. It was a huge, huge fire, which represented a huge fire within the lives of the newly found Christians in Ephesus, because they had surrendered their life to the Lord. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. They showed it by burning all the things that were keeping them from the Lord, from fully surrendering to the Lord. And look at what the Lord did with it. Look at verse 20. In this way, the word of the Lord spread and prevailed. In this way, the word of the Lord spread and prevailed. Listen, if you want to live a life with purpose and power, if you want to live a life that is forever changed, it's not hard. It's not complicated. You surrender your life to the Lord. The days of pretending are over. The days of going through the motions, those are over. The days of purposeless and powerless living, those are in your rearview mirror. And you say, how do I do that? How do I surrender? You open your hands and you let the Lord take it all. And you give your life to following Jesus. Whatever it is He's called you to do, you put yourself in the back seat and you put the Lord in the front and the driver's seat of your life. You surrender your life to Him. All of it. Like now. Like today. Don't wait. Don't get home. Don't think you can do it later. No, surrender your life to the Lord now. If you don't know Jesus, repent and be saved. Repent of your sin. Turn from your sin and turn to Christ and be saved. He paid the penalty for your sin and gives you the gift of salvation. If only you'll turn from that, turn from those ways, acknowledge that He is the Lord of all, acknowledge that He paid the price of your sin on the cross. Believe that He really came and lived a sinless life. Believe that He resurrected from the grave, defeating death, and confess Him as your Savior and Lord. Surrender and be saved if you don't know Him. And if you do know Him, take your will and surrender your will to His will. Take your life and surrender your life to His life. Lord, what is it that You want us to do? Ask Him, what do You want me to do as an individual? He's not keeping it from you. He's not keeping His purpose from you. Surrender to the Lord. Stop fighting the Lord. Find purpose. Find power. And change. Because He's worth it. Heaven awaits. Heaven awaits for the one who knows the Lord. Listen, if you need to surrender to Christ and be saved, come and talk with me the second I say amen. If you need to surrender your life to the Lord, your will to the Lord, if you know the Lord and you just know you've got to get on the same page as God, flood the altar. Come and talk to Him up here at the altar and surrender all of your life to Christ for His glory alone, for His purpose alone. Let's pray. Father, we hand this time over to you, trusting that you are in control and that you are God and that you are good and that you, by your Spirit, is going to do work in this room. Father, I pray if there's someone here who does not know you as Lord and Savior, that today is the day they surrender their life to you, repent of their sin, and become saved. And Father, I pray if there are those in the room who are just so tired of going through the motions, I pray you would help them by your Spirit surrender their will to your will. I pray, God, when they do that, you would reveal to them great purpose and the power to live out for you and a changed life because of it. Father, we love you, and we're going to give you praise and glory for the work you're going to do here. Help us to worship you now. Give us courage if needed. We pray all this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.